We can never have too much of that. Amen. Our nation needs God's blessing like never before. Thank you, Brother Chris, for a patriotic reminder of what our nation truly, truly needs this hour. This elderly couple began to realize that they were getting more and more forgetful. Can anybody relate to that? You ever been into a room and you forgot what you went into the room for? So they went to their doctor and told him about it. And he said, well, this is what I'd recommend. Whenever you think about something that you're going to do or need to do, write it down. Then if you forget, you'll have a written reminder. So that evening, they went to the doctor that evening, the wife said to her husband, honey, would you go in the kitchen, get me a bowl of ice cream? I'd just like to have a bowl of ice cream. He said, sure, honey. She said, well, aren't you going to write it down? He said, I'm just going into the kitchen to get you a bowl of ice cream. Well, several minutes later, he came back and he brought her a plate of eggs and bacon and eggs. She said, see, I told you to write it down. You forgot my toast. That'll arrive after a while for some of you. Well, take your copy of God's Word. What a great Sunday school lesson Brother Richard brought on the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, there toward the end of your Bible, Peter, the Apostle Peter, writes two short epistles, 1 and 2 Peter. So 1 Peter chapter 1. Have you ever wondered what happened to the disciples of the Lord Jesus? To the disciples, the apostles. According to church history and tradition, number one, Philip was tied to a pillar and stoned to death. Number two, Matthew was nailed to the ground with spikes and beheaded. Number three, Jude was beaten to death with sticks and clubs. Number four, Simon was tortured and crucified. Number five, John, son of Zebedee, was tortured and exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Number six, James, brother of John, was beheaded. Number seven, James, the other James, was pushed from the top of a building and then beaten to death. Number eight, Andrew, Peter's brother, hung on a cross for 3 days before dying. Number nine, Bartholomew was beaten, crucified, and skinned alive before being beheaded. Number 10, Thomas was thrown into a fiery furnace, then speared with a javelin. Number 11, Peter, according to tradition, was crucified upside down. And then number 12, finally, the Apostle Paul was beheaded. All of our Lord's disciples, apostles, with probably the exception of John, who was exiled, died a gruesome, horrible, despicable death. The question may arise, why? Why such torturous, gruesome deaths? Well, the answer is they were put to death as martyrs for their commitment and their conviction that Jesus Christ was risen and alive. They believed that. Why? Because they saw him. They experienced it. The first century church, the first century believers, paid a tremendous price for their Christian faith. As we today, these past few days, Veterans Day, we've given our respect, our acknowledgement to those who have given their life for our freedoms. We as Christian believers also need to acknowledge that Christ gave his life for our spiritual freedom. So the Apostle Peter writes two epistles for one main reason: to encourage discouraged believers. Today, as we sit in our padded pews, stained glass window churches, as 21st century believers, even here at the Park Place Baptist Church, need I remind us all today, and I think we're all aware of this, we're living in difficult times and discouraging times. Individually and collectively. COVID is still casting fear upon many. Just found out yesterday our Medicare premiums for our Part B, is going to go from $148.50 to $170.10, an over 13% increase. That'll bless your heart right there, won't it? That'll discourage you. So much going on in our world, in our society, in our country, even in our churches today, that seemingly are keeping so many believers discouraged. That is why we'll do well today to take our Bibles here in 1 Peter chapter 1. I encourage you to open them there in your bulletin, a simple outline, but some space there to maybe jot down some of the sub-points. It do well today to give our attention to what good old Peter had to say. So I want us to look today at this subject, and it's a two-part message, Lord willing, part two next Sunday morning, on this subject, looking up. Keep looking up. The tendency so often is to be looking down, discouraged. But as believers in Christ today, I want to share with you this message and hopefully encourage you to keep looking up, because the best is yet to come. Can I get a witness from somebody? The best is yet to come. So notice here this morning, Peter focused on two things. He focused, number one, here in a moment, on the grace of God, on his grace. And then secondly, he focused on his gifts. So let's notice, first of all, he focused on his grace. Notice here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. His letter had some far-reaching effects. But as we sit here this morning in Park Place Baptist Church, again, 21st century believers, what we're about to see is real as if the ink is still wet on the parchment. In other words, what Peter wrote in the first century to encourage believers is right here before us today. And just as relevant, just as needful. So notice, first of all, he focused on his grace. Look at verse number 2. This is a theological masterpiece. First Peter 1 and verse 2 is a theological masterpiece. This verse is chunked full of theology concerning our salvation. You'll find all three persons of the Godhead right here in this verse. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all three right here in this second verse of 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice with me. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Underline that in your Bible, elect. If you're saved today, you're one of the elect. And the word simply but significantly means chosen. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Notice through sanctification of the Spirit, capital S, that's Holy Spirit. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then that little colon there, dot above dot. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. That's what Peter wrote to these discouraged believers as he focused on his grace. So there's three subpoints there. Under that main point, focused on His grace. Write these down. Number one, we're chosen by the Father. We are chosen by God the Father. Our salvation today, listen, the day you got saved, you were chosen by the Father. It was a calling. We are called by the Father unto the salvation experience. That day you got saved, you were chosen, you were elect, you were called unto salvation by the Father who gives us the new birth. Now notice there in verse 2 that phrase, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That's the biblical doctrine of election. And I may add, it's somewhat controversial. People just don't understand it. But to me, it's as simple can be. Peter makes this clear. Our election, our being chosen, are you listening? Now don't miss this. Our election, our being chosen, is based on God's foreknowledge. Now what does that mean? Knowledge is always based on fact, on known fact. Things that you and I know are based on what? The facts. Our God, listen carefully, our God is omniscient. You know what that means, that word omniscient? He's, first of all, He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Have you ever thought, by the way, how many churches on this Lord's Day, November the 14th, are gathered together? Just think about Thomasville only. How many churches today at this very time are gathered or assembled together in the house of God for the purpose, trustfully, you and I are here? Just in Thomasville. Now multiply that, if you will. State of North Carolina. How many towns and cities and suburbs How many just Baptist churches? And God is present. He's omnipresent. Think about our whole country. Think about the world. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. Our God has all powers. I believe I preached last Sunday in Matthew 28. But he's also omniscient. Do you know what that means? God knows everything. Our God is omniscient. He has all knowledge. He knows all the facts. So notice this phrase, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. What does that mean? He knows exactly who accept Christ as Savior. He knows those who they are and where they are. Now, there's something today, and it's become very invasive, even in our Baptist churches. It's called Calvinism. Calvinism says that 5 points, I wish I had time to go over the 5 points of Calvinism, but in essence it says everyone that's born, they're born either saved or lost and can't do a thing about it. You know, there's a fine line there. God has foreknowledge. Those of who are saved are the elect. They're chosen. But always remember this, God never violates man's volitional will, man's freedom of choice. God knows who will get saved. God knows who will not get saved. He has that foreknowledge, but he never violates man's volitional will. So we are chosen by the Father. And then notice there in verse number 2, we're also sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So write this down. We're changed by the Holy Spirit. You know what sanctification means? It means to be set apart by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit of God. Here in this first chapter of Peter's, 1 Peter. Go over to verse 18. Notice verses 18 through 21. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed. You know what it means to be redeemed? Redemption. Back in these biblical times, they had slaves who were put on auction blocks, and they were bidded for. But periodically, somebody would come and make a bid for the price of a slave, and they would say, or they would acknowledge to the slave that I have paid your redemption price. You know what that means? It bought that slave's freedom. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain or empty conversation received by tradition from your fathers, all of that was in vanity. Look at verse 19. There's that good but. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained. There it is. Foreordained before the foundation of the world. That's before Genesis 1:1. But was manifest or demonstrated in these last times for you. Verse 21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. jot this passage down. Don't have time to read it, but I put it in my notes. Hebrews 9, 11 through 12. The blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses us from all sin. Years ago, I heard of a mainline denomination that had controversy among itself. They wanted to take every song in their songbook that had reference to the blood out of the songbook. I'm telling you this morning, church, you take the blood of Jesus out of the picture and there is no salvation. It's the blood of Jesus and nothing but the blood of Jesus. What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lord Jesus. Great songs, aren't they, Chris? We're cleansed by the Son, changed by the Spirit, called or chosen by the Father. Peter focused on his grace. If you're saved today, that's what happened to you. If you're saved today, you're one of God's elect. You're one of God's chosen. And God knew the day that you got saved because he has foreknowledge. But this doctrine of election is simple. It's not Calvinistic. God never violates the volitional will of man. But now notice verses 3 through 5. Secondly, he focused on his gifts. Notice verse 3, we have a living hope. We have a living hope. Notice verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. That phrase, begotten us, that's the born again experience, unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. No need to be discouraged today. No need to walk around with our head down. We have every reason to be keeping looking up. We have a living hope. Man's hopes are dead hopes. Man's hopes many times amount to nothing. But our hope today, listen today, if you're saved today, you have a lively or living hope. Purchased by the living Christ. Notice there that phrase at the end of verse 3, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Muhammad is dead and still in the grave. Buddha is dead and still in the grave. Confucius is dead and still in the grave. Our Christ is up, risen from the dead. I've been to Jerusalem. I've seen the empty tomb. We have a living hope. And you know what that living hope or lively hope is? That is our hope of eternal life. When's the last time you thought about how long eternity is? How many of you realize today you're one heartbeat from eternity? One accident from eternity. But as Jesus says, if you're saved today, if you believe in him, even if you physically die, yet we shall spiritually live for eternity. Eternity is a long time. Eternity never ends. We have a living, lively hope. But I like verses 4 and 5. Look at verses 4 and 5. We have not only a living or lively hope, but look at verses 4 and 5. We have a lasting inheritance. A lasting inheritance. Do you realize today Jesus is there with God? Maybe you don't think you have very much in this life, but I'm telling you, we have an inheritance that's lasting. Look at verse 4. This is a masterpiece. A masterpiece of encouragement. That's why Peter wrote it. That's why we can read it today and get encouraged. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible, that means also imperishable, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And look how verse 4 ends, reserved in heaven for you. As Peter stared death in the face, again, as I said earlier, tradition says Peter was going to be crucified, and he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord, and Peter was crucified upside down. As he stared death in the face, why would this inheritance be especially meaningful to him? Look what he said. It's incorruptible. It's imperishable. That means not subject to passing away. It's undefiled. That means it's unpolluted with evil. There's nothing that will taint it. And it will not fade away. You know what that means? It ain't going anywhere. When you and I get there, our inheritance will be waiting for us. Nothing will harm it. Nothing will tarnish it. Nothing will defile it. And it will not fade away. It'll be there waiting for us. And look at verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Reserved. Look at that phrase again at the end of verse 4. Reserved in heaven. You know what that means? That means it's guarded. It's kept. It's preserved. It means it is safe and secure. It'll be there waiting for us. Kept, that's a strong word, kept. Guarded by the power of God. And I'm telling you this morning, church, God has all power. There ain't nothing. Excuse that, I didn't major in grammar or in English. But it still sounds good. There ain't nothing that's going to harm our inheritance. There's nothing more powerful than being kept by the power of God. Ready to be revealed. Now, if that don't bless your heart blesser's broken. If that don't encourage you, then you're just going to have to walk around like an old hound dog the rest of your life. You may not have much down here, But we got a lot waiting for us over there. That ought to make a backslidden nun shout. Can I get a witness right there? We got a lot to look forward to. Everything is being prepared. So when we get there, it'll be ready to be revealed. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14? Those first three verses that we read so often at a funeral, and that ought to tell us something. We ought to read it more because most Baptist churches or services are like a funeral. Can't get a witness. People sat there like a bump on a Rolaid saying, "Move me if you can, preacher, move me if you can." Some Baptists wouldn't move if you had a double dose of X-Lax. Can I get a witness right there? Remember that old X-Lax commercial? That old laxative X-Lax. Remember that TV commercial? It works while you sleep. Bless God, I don't want it to work while I sleep. Amen. I want to wake up before it works. You ought to be moved. We ought to be excited. You know what Jesus said in John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. You know what that means? Let not your heart be discouraged. Ye believe in God, what? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to what? What did Jesus say? What did he promise? I go to what? Prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm going to prepare that place that where I am, there you and I will be also. Everything is going to be prepared. Our inheritance. It's imperishable. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It fadeth not away. It's reserved for us in heaven. It's kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed. That's why we need to keep looking up. Jesus is coming back. In the air is called the rapture, to call us up after the dead in Christ have risen first. Those loved ones we've all lost and gone to the cemetery to see them buried. Listen, that's just their body going in the ground. Their spirits with the Lord, and that will come back with the Lord to have their resurrection, to have their change, to have their immortal, incorruptible body. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up. 1 Corinthians 15 says it'll happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know what that means? Faster than you can blink your eye. And then there we'll be with the Lord. And it says there in 1 Thessalonians 4, comfort one another with these words, for we shall so ever be with him. And guess what? You'll have, you'll get your inheritance. We are joint heirs with Christ. These aren't days, Park Place, to be discouraged. These are days to be encouraged. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Would you stand? I don't know where you are today spiritually, but I want to tell you this. If I wasn't a Christian today, in the world in which we're living, in a world that's full of chaos and confusion and conflict. If I wasn't a Christian today, if I wasn't saved today, sure and know it, I believe today I'd really strongly consider giving my life to Christ. So I don't know on this side or on this side or whatever pew you're in. Where you stand today, you stand one of two ways, either saved or unsaved. Do you remember the day that you gave your life to Christ?